This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's going to happen tonight? What's going to happen?
We're going to whoop their
Have you gotten Romo yet?
What's up, y'all? Welcome on into the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Wes Rucker coming to you from Fort Rucker Studio. And as you can tell by the truncated version of this intro, we got a breaking news edition of the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Let's go across town to that clown car full of children, that home daycare center of Ryan Callahan, and ask Ryan why we've got another breaking news edition here of the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Haven't had many of these lately, Ryan, but we got one today.
Yeah, we really haven't had many of these lately. People have kind of throughout the season wondered, you know, when's this on-field progress going to start to show in recruiting? When is Tennessee going to get some of these top targets? And finally, the Vols have done that with the addition of four-star edge rusher Joshua Josephs of North Cobb High School in Kennesaw, Georgia, obviously in the Atlanta area. He's been a longtime top target for Tennessee. This is a really nice, important recruiting win for Tennessee. If you're familiar with the Vols roster at all, you obviously know they have needed to continue to build depth among their edge rushers. You know, they certainly addressed that position last year with the signing of junior college transfer Byron Young, who has helped quite a bit, but still needing more help there. And you know, you need more than just a couple guys that can do that effectively. And Josephs is a really talented guy, four-star prospect in 24/7 sports rankings. I know at least a couple of our analysts are very high on him. I've seen him play in person a couple times this year, really like his game. Just a nice pickup for Tennessee, and they beat out, obviously, an SEC rival in Kentucky and Michigan, a school we've seen them butt heads with a number of times over the years, beating out a couple other pretty good programs to get a guy from the Atlanta area. So this is a nice pickup, you know, a guy Tennessee's been after for months. They offered him way back in March, hosted him on a few visits, and including an official visit back in October. And Tennessee in a recruitment where they didn't lead the entire way. You know, Michigan looked like was maybe the team to beat at one point during the season, but Tennessee stayed with it and ends up winning out in the end for one of its longtime priorities.
Yeah, you know, Ryan, it's interesting that Tennessee has gone up against Michigan so much. It's almost like sometimes in the South, like, you know, Georgia and Bama are kind of getting some of the very top guys, the guys that are just prized above everybody else, and Clemson's in there a lot too. But then there's that next tier where just about anybody can get in there. And Michigan and Penn State both seem to come down to the South to try to get in on those guys. And obviously those programs are having good seasons, you know, but Michigan's, you know, competing for a playoff spot. So those guys are selling something good up there. So for Tennessee to be able to go in there and win this battle, that's a big deal to me.
That is. And we've seen Michigan do a nice job in the South. They've made several guys in the state of Tennessee a pretty big priority, where we've seen Tennessee involved with them. And they've gotten some guys in Tennessee in the 2022 class. And we've seen them make the state of Georgia a pretty big priority. Obviously a lot of talent in the Atlanta area. Michigan, hardly the only school outside the SEC that tries to go there, but they really have put a lot of time in the Atlanta area. And Josephs was a guy that they, you know, again, put themselves in position to really have a shot at landing. Got an official visit, got him back on campus for a game early this season, and it looked like coming out of that visit, he went to their game against Washington, you know, under the lights, primetime game early in the season, really had fun up there. And for probably a month or so after that visit, the consensus was that Michigan was probably the team to beat, or at least had the momentum at that time. And then he went back to Tennessee on his official visit the weekend of October 9 for the South Carolina game. And kind of after that visit, it seemed like it shifted, that Tennessee really took over. And I think there was a thought, certainly on Tennessee's part and maybe Kentucky too, that all along, there was a thought that maybe distance would win out in the end, and that would be a concern for Michigan that they wouldn't be able to overcome. I think that was at least a factor in the end. I think the idea of being closer to home, just 3 hours up the road in Knoxville, certainly appealed to him and his family, and Tennessee staff, you know, again, showed him a ton of attention and did a really good job of recruiting him. So, you know, again, this is one of those that Tennessee had to kind of play the long game, wait it out, get him on campus a handful of times, and just keep chopping wood, you know, even when it didn't look like things were going their way, and they did that. So to me, this is one of those validating types of pickups for Tennessee, where, like you said, they go in and beat out another good program, and Kentucky, in fact, might have been the bigger competition down the stretch. But the fact that Tennessee, you know, was able to win out, I think speaks to this staff's recruiting ability. I know it's been a question mark for some people, but to me, to be able to win this type of battle, I think shows they're certainly capable of going in there and beating out some other heavy hitters for good talent.
Yeah, and Ryan, sorry, we got a little audio issue here. Get that kinked out. You know, when you look at sort of his size, you talked about the quiet game, right? Or the long game, I mean. And he looks at it. I see 6'3", 215 here. And I'm thinking, you know, it's a different game. It's a space game these days. But that is awfully lean. I mean, that's almost like, you know, NFL wide receiver size. I mean, he's a young kid, obviously. So when you're talking about the frame here, how much can he grow? How much is that going to be a big part of his development? And how quickly does he have the frame to sort of address that and get where he needs to be?
Yeah, I don't think that's a huge concern for him. I think he's going to be able to add some weight and be fine. You know, Tennessee, Michigan, Kentucky, all those schools see him as the same type of player, see him as an edge rusher, and think he'll have no trouble adding that type of weight. I've seen, believe me, there have been plenty of guys over the years who have been leaner than Josh Joseph's coming out of high school who have been able to put on the weight. You know, DeAndre Walker going into Georgia was maybe around 200 pounds, 205. You know, you certainly see the types of guys. Rashawn Evans, now with the Tennessee Titans, before he went to Alabama, he was, I think, going into his senior year of high school, he was 210, 215. So you see those guys sometimes where they're in high school, they are built about like that, and that's not a huge concern. So as you said, not a guy that maybe projects as a day one starter, but because of that size, but because he has such talent and such good athleticism, I've again, seeing him in person, he's pretty quick off the edge, you know, but he's, you know, not just an edge rusher. He's kind of got a well-rounded skill set where, you know, if you want to drop him in coverage some, he can do that. Certainly right now at his current size, he can do that and stops the run pretty well. So not just a guy who pins his ears back and goes after the quarterback in high school. And I think that's only a selling point for the schools that have been after him. But I think there's definitely a lot to work with there, and certainly a frame that's easily big enough to add the necessary weight. And you know, in Tennessee's system, you're going to have guys standing up sometimes. They're going to put their hand on the ground sometimes. So you've got some options to use them in different ways as he continues to bulk up. But I don't think that's going to be a problem for him.
Yeah, the reason I said that is just because I look at a guy like Roman Harrison, right? And he's, you know, he had kind of a similar size around there coming to Tennessee. Now it's his third year in the program. He's 6'2", 235. And he played, for instance, a great game against South Alabama, but he's also had some games against some SEC teams where he's sort of been stood up at the line of scrimmage too much. You know, he's been, once people get their hands on him, you know, he's quick, but and he's strong, but when the bigger offensive linemen get their hands on him, he struggles a little bit. So I wonder, I just wonder how much bigger a guy like Joseph's would need to get in order to overcome things like that. Obviously, every player is different, right? We always try to get into the comparison game, but you just look at the way the game's played now and you see, okay, I could see size not being a huge issue there. I'm just wondering how much bigger he needs to get in order to be explosive enough to sort of overcome those things.
Yeah, I don't think a lot more. And that's, you know, again, we see it with all sorts of players at every position almost. They're just going to come into college weight rooms and they're going to blow up a little bit. So this is almost, in a lot of ways, this is kind of the size you want them to be. If you want them to be in a system like Tennessee's, a 245, 255 pound edge rusher, you almost want them to be in the 215 to maybe 225 range coming out of high school, just because when they get into a weight room in college, they are going to put on some weight just naturally as they eat three meals a day. And some kids don't do that in high school, and they don't stay in a weight room all the time and do all the things that you have to do in college. So they just get in there and they kind of explode a little bit physically. And so I think when you get him onto a college campus, it's not going to take him very long to put on 20 pounds probably. And then after that, you're just, adding a few more pounds to make sure he can withstand that beating and get off blocks and all that stuff. So I think he'll be fine. And, again, he's a guy that has a skill set that maybe allows you to put him on the field early. If he does take a little more time than needed to add some weight, he's a guy that you can put him out there situationally and he'll be fine, or maybe do some different things with him because of his positional versatility. Because he could be, at his current size, he could be a linebacker if you needed him to, but I don't think that's what he does best. I think he's at it. Is at his best when he's going after the quarterback, and that's certainly what Tennessee envisions him doing. So, kind of in that Leo position that we've heard a lot about with this staff, Byron Young and some of those guys play. So I think they're going to be able to find a way to use him. And yeah, I don't think he needs to add too much weight. I think somewhere in the 30, 35 pound range over time. And it doesn't all have to happen in year one, but it tends to happen pretty quickly once those guys get on campus.
Yeah. I don't want people to think I was, trying to sound negative there or have a counterpoint or anything like that. I just wonder that because we've heard Heupel say throughout the year that when he's looking at recruiting, Tennessee's got to get faster, but it's also got to get bigger. It's got to get bigger and stronger. And so when I see something like that, it just sort of makes me wonder a little bit. And that's why I was curious there. But there's a lot to also really like about this kid, the explosiveness, the way he plays the game. We got a lot more. We're going to talk about him.
Well, one more point on that. Let's not forget Byron Young. They've talked a lot about how much weight he has put on since he arrived at Tennessee. He's kind of an example of what you're going to see with a lot of these guys once they get on campus. Young has put on a ton of weight in his first year in the program. And again, especially for those junior college guys, they're not on the kind of routine and sure, not in the type sure. of weight room and everything else they're going to have at a place like Tennessee. So that's easy for those guys to make the jump. Certainly think it's no different for a guy like Joseph, who's 18 years old and coming in and just getting acclimated to college. It's just going to naturally happen. But Byron Young, kind of a good example, because he was a fairly lean guy himself, and now is playing year one at Tennessee, obviously.
Yeah, and that's what I meant. I mean, before we go to break here, I didn't want people to think I was being negative about this, because I think this is a huge recruiting gift for Tennessee. This is a big, big addition, and this is a guy who, you will find people who are better evaluators of high school talent than me, but I know the game, and I can watch this kid, and I can say, I like what I see from him off the edge. So there's a lot to like there. I just had that question about that. And like you said, he gets to Tennessee, he can go into a bod pod, he can get those personalized smoothies after workouts. They can flip that body in a hurry. They can change it in a hurry. I was curious to just make sure that they definitely saw him as an edge, or if the way the game's played now, he maybe wouldn't dabble some at inside backer. I was just curious because he has kind of that body where you could see it going a lot of different ways.
Well, and here's the reason you definitely see him as an edge, because he has the length to do it. That's one of the things that when sometimes guys are a little leaner in high school, they maybe project more as an inside guy. Sometimes it's because they're not tall enough and don't have the length. One of the things that we have in our very, very good evaluation on Joshua Joseph's profile on 24/7 Sports is that he has a verified 82-inch wingspan.
That's huge. That is really nice.
So when you have that kind of length to be able to fight off those long offensive tackles, that's what you're looking for. You got to have long arms to be able to do that. And he has, again, pretty good height. 6'3" is kind of the – that's more the benchmark of where you want those guys to be, at least 6'3", ideally to be able to withstand the 6'6" and taller tackles. And so that's wingspan, certainly part of the reason it's quick twitch. He's got a good first step off the edge and has the length. So that's where you start. And that's why I think people see him as an edge rusher.
Yeah. That's, Nick Saban has those things he calls the critical factors. And one of those things is being an edge. You want to be at least 6'3", ideally 6'4", but 6'3" and above is good. And that's one of the reasons why is you look at it and you see, okay, yeah, like you need those long arms. So there's plenty more to talk about this young man. We're going to talk about his game a little bit, the strengths that he has in his game, some things that he's going to have to maybe improve at the next level. Also talk about sort of where Tennessee goes from here at the edge position, because we know that is an area where games are very clearly won and lost, is right there on the edge of the line of scrimmage. So what's Tennessee's plan, you know, going forward? There's a lot more to discuss about that. Before we do it, though, we're going to step away for just 1 second, pay some bills, listen to products, services, in-house ads, other fun things, and we will be right back here on the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. Hashtag ad
money!
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Welcome back to the Go Vols 24/7 podcast, brought to you by whatever products, services, and in-house ads you just heard a moment ago during that commercial break. Wes Rucker coming to you from Fort Rucker Studio. Ryan Callahan coming to you from across town there at his home daycare center, talking about Tennessee adding four-star edge defender Joshua Josephs to its recruiting class. The Vols doing some good things on the field, and you wonder when that's going to translate to getting the recruiting thing going again. Well, here's a big part of that. Tennessee as early signing period approaches, Tennessee needed to get the ball rolling, and Tennessee is apparently starting to do that. So good news, lots more to discuss on that in the second segment here of this podcast. Quickly, though, if you could, guys, just take about a minute out of your day right now and go in there and rate and review this podcast and hit that subscribe button. If you're just listening for free on the website, nothing wrong with that. We love you. No wrong way to listen to this podcast. But the one thing that we ask for is please go in there and hit that subscribe button, whether you're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, TuneIn, Stitcher. Anywhere in the world you can cast the fine pod, you can find this Go Vols 24/7 podcast. We do this for free, and we're happy to do it. The one thing that we ask, tell your friends, and go ahead and rate, interview, and subscribe. For people who are already doing that, thank you. We love you. For those people who are not doing that, go yourself. That's the policy. And I know some people are like, that's rude. And my response is, no, it's not rude. It's rude to not help us. And I think that's where I'm going with that. So people may not be backing me on that. Even my coworkers felt some resistance from Ryan earlier on that. But that's what's going to happen now. And if he wants to come host the podcast, he is welcome to do that. Ryan, Tennessee has gotten this commitment, and people want to know why should Tennessee fans be excited about this player? And my response to that would be just watch some film. Is that fair to say? He looks really fun off the edge.
He is, and you know, as I said before, kind of some positional versatility when you look at his high school film, because you know, at his current size, certainly he's got some traits that could easily fit at linebacker if you needed him to. But that's Again, that's only a plus. That doesn't mean he's going to be a linebacker or more of a true linebacker, but means you could do some different things with him. You can drop him back in coverage here and there and maybe surprise some teams with some, you know, zone blitz looks or something like that. So you got some options for the guy that can do some of those things. But realistically, what he does best is, you know, get after the quarterback, rush off the edge, set the edge. Let's not forget, you know, the run game's a big part of that. And I think he's pretty good in run support off the edge. And is, you know, just for the first game I saw in this season, early in the regular season, nationally televised game against Milton High School, good competition. He just blew up a handful of plays. I don't remember the final stats, but something like 5 tackles for loss in that game. I mean, he was just all over the place. So this is a perfect kind of player to add to Tennessee's very attacking defensive style that we've obviously seen this year under first year coordinator Tim Banks. They've been among the nation's leaders in tackles for loss this season, and you know, Byron Young, guys like that, and Joshua Joseph fits in well with that, and you know, certainly will upgrade the athleticism of that group, improve the depth. And you know, it's one thing I'm sure people will ask, we talked about, you know, in the last segment, whether he, you know, needs to add a lot of weight, things like that. One question I'm sure that will come up is, he an early enrollee? It does not sound right now like he plans to be on campus in January. The latest he's told me is that he's not planning to, just going to finish high school out and enjoy his spring semester. And you know, when I checked on that in August, sounds like he had some additional work to do anyway. So it might have just come down to not being able to or wanting to do the extra work needed to do that. But it sounds like he's going to finish out high school and enroll in the summer. So that might set back his hopes of being a day one major impact player, but maybe not. You know, sometimes those guys can surprise you with that, but has the ability absolutely to contribute in some form or fashion as a true freshman. It could help on special teams, could be a situational pass rusher, could do a lot of things with him, but this is a really good athlete. Again, we talked about before, good length. There's just a lot to like there, but this is a guy who's a playmaker and, you know, 20-25 plus offers that we have, including schools like Auburn. Auburn offered him this summer, tried to get involved. He didn't have a ton of interest in Auburn at the time, despite, you know, Auburn having some connections at his high school.
Auburn does really well in the Atlanta area historically, you know.
They do. So that was it was a little bit of a surprise to some people in his recruitment that Auburn did not become more of a factor after that. And this is a guy Georgia was really thought to be evaluating pretty heavily earlier this season. And they just never got around to offering him and kind of set their sights on another guy. Tennessee is recruiting James Pierce out of Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah.
They offered him instead. And Joseph's, that might have allowed Tennessee to kind of remain the team or one of the teams to beat. But again, you know, they didn't lead the whole time. They had to kind of come back to beat out Michigan and then down the stretch Kentucky, where he went up to the Kentucky-Tennessee game on November 6th. So, you know, certainly a nice recruiting win there for Tennessee. But yeah, on film, there's a lot to like about Joshua Joseph. And again, I mentioned some of our analysts are very high on him. That's reflected in his rating. He's had that 3-star rating in the 24/7 Sports composite for months, but a 4-star prospect on 24/7 Sports that he was moved up, I think, in August going into his senior season or around the start of his season. And I know our guys like him quite a bit. So that definitely shows you he's got some real upside and talent that's made this a big pickup for Tennessee.
And I'll tell you what too, I mean, I, you know, we have our evaluators, you know, go watch these kids actually play. You know, you've been down there to actually watch him play. We've had a lot of other guys in the network, especially because we got a bunch of people in that Atlanta area, obviously, who can go in there and watch him play. So what I've seen is highlights and clips, but one thing that stood out to me in these clips, he's got to have a pretty decent coaching staff down there at his high school, because he's got a few different moves. And you see a lot of times guys who are edge guys, you know, dominant edge type players at the high school level, even at really good high schools, they don't have a lot of moves because they don't really need a lot of moves. You know, they just kind of, they're able to race around offensive tackles. They're able to overpower them. They're able to just kind of dip that shoulder and go. And he has a couple of different moves on film, and that's something that I think gives you a pretty nice base to work with if you're Tennessee's coaching staff. You know, guys like Mike Eckler, guys like Rodney Garner, obviously Tim Banks. I think when you combine the fact that he's got, I think, like a 4.3 shuttle, like a 32 or 33-inch vertical, 82, you know, inch wingspan, and I already got a couple of different moves, Ryan, I like that combination of things. I think he shows some different things on film.
For sure. This is a guy, I mean, you mentioned it all right there, the athleticism, the wingspan, the quick first step off the edge. He's got a skill set that absolutely, as a four-star rating might suggest, absolutely could add up to being a future NFL player. To me, he has that kind of ability to be an NFL player if he develops into the guy that I think he can be in the future. So there's a lot to like on film, and a well-rounded skill set, as you said, not just a kind of a one-trick pony off the edge. He can do a lot of things to get to the quarterback and to get into the backfield. And again, shows it in coverage, shows it as kind of just covering the field as a linebacker, seeing him chase down plays from behind and things like that, where he really shows off his speed. So this is just a good football player. These are the kind of guys Tennessee has not been able to get often enough in recent years. They've just had so many of these types going back to Jeremy Pruitt era and even before. These good edge rushers they go after in neighboring states, especially, they've just lost out on too many of these types of guys where they needed a guy like Byron Young from the junior college ranks last year to be able to address that need. And now to get one from high school ranks like this, who has still a ton of upside, still not a finished product because he needs to add some weight, but these are the types of guys you need to get so that, in a couple of years, that this is the guy who gives you the potential to maybe have, an all SEC player at that position, not to put too much expectation on him, but I think he's got that kind of ability to at least give Tennessee more of that upside that they've been missing on defense, just not enough special players, special talents on that side of the ball. I think Joshua Joseph is the type of guy who gives you that type of upside that they need in the future.
Well, and I'll be honest, it's a bit of a bummer that it doesn't look like he's going to arrive in January, because he's a guy who could probably use that 4 or 5 extra months head start on his college career. And that's not to say that he can't do, a lot of work on his own. I'm sure he's got a trainer down there. I'm sure he works out at his high school. I'm sure he does some things. And if a kid wants to enjoy his final semester of life as a high school student before things get serious at the college level, I got no problem, no skin off my back there. I understand that, but he's a guy who, you look at what Tennessee's got off the edge, and we've not seen all season what Tyler Barron can really do. Tyler Barron's had a hamstring injury; he's been nicked up in other ways. I think he's a really dynamic player, and I don't think he's been able to show it this season. Byron Young, assuming he comes back to Tennessee next season, which I don't think is a given, but I think would be probably more likely to come back than go. So you got those two coming back off the edge. Likely you got, Roman Harrison, a guy who's done some things off the edge. You got some young guys you're trying to develop there. But that's a position where Tennessee needs a little bit more dynamic ability. Those good SEC, really good SEC defenses, they just give you all kinds of problems off the edge. You got to be good at defensive tackle, but you also have to cause problems off the edge. And he's a guy who I think could, like you said, with his athleticism, he's a guy who, if he can hit the ground running in the weight room and pick up the defense, he could help maybe early. He's a guy who has some of that ability. So what I'm wondering now, Ryan, is I don't think, and feel free to 100% step on my toes and correct me here, I don't know how many edge guys Tennessee sort of wants to sign in this class, but I can't imagine it's only one. I, looking at the numbers, I would think they need to do more work there. Am I off base there, or is that right?
No, I think that's right. I think they would like to certainly add a second one. Now they've got so many needs in this class, only so much space, that I think it'd be hard to take more than two unless you were just getting the type of player you can't turn down. I think Tennessee is certainly in a position where talent sometimes is going to outweigh positional needs, where if you find the right guy, you're just going to take him. But the other main guy to watch at edge rusher, and we've already mentioned him before, is James Pierce out of Charlotte, North Carolina. He's been to 3 of Tennessee's home games this season, and still has an official visit left to take down the stretch to Tennessee.
That's a lot. I mean, three unofficials and one official in one season. That's a lot.
Yeah. So if that official visit happens as planned, then that's obviously a pretty good setup for Tennessee to have a good shot there. Georgia looks like it might be among Tennessee's main competition there. He did get an offer from Georgia this season and planning to visit there again, already been to a game this season. So that's certainly one to watch, but probably the main target. Tennessee continues to look for additional edge rushing help. They've got some pressing needs, as you said, still with Tyler Barron and I think probably with Byron Young back next year, you've got some guys back at that position where you're not in desperate need, but you certainly could use second guy, and the transfer portal always offers a backup plan. But Certainly James Pierce looks like a pretty good option for Tennessee right now.
Ryan, how much is South Carolina in the mix for him? Because South Carolina, you know, you see the crystal ball, you see the fact that it seems like all of our guys who cover South Carolina think that kid's going to Carolina. But, you know, it seems to me like it's, you know, how can you go visit Tennessee four times in one season and have that not be your leader?
Yeah, well, again, the crystal ball, not always an up-to-date reflection of where things stand. And I think those predictions were coming in the summer when he had been to South Carolina once over the summer, and Missouri, he took an official visit to Missouri back in June. That was his first official visit. So right at that time, it didn't look like the competition was all that fierce for South Carolina. And since then, you know, Tennessee's obviously made him a priority. Georgia jumped in there this season. Florida also offered him during the season. So his stock kind of rose, and not to say South Carolina's out of it, because he's also been back there, I think, this season. But I do think Tennessee is right up there, certainly among the teams at the top, and that South Carolina, I certainly wouldn't say they're the team to beat as of the recording of this podcast. So we'll see where that one goes down the stretch. But I think Tennessee's got as good of a shot as anybody at James Pierce. And if you could pair Joshua Joseph with James Pierce, that would be a pretty strong tandem at edge rusher. Tennessee's not had that type of edge rusher class in a while. So that would be a really impressive duo at that spot. Pierce, even longer than Joseph. I think he's in the 6'4", 6'5" range.
Yeah, I think he's a solid 6'5".
Another lean guy, you know, that's going to need to put on some weight, but just a ton of ability there and really impressive film from his senior season too. So I think that would be the main name to watch there. We'll see if Tennessee makes, you know, they're still in the mix with some other guys down the stretch, some guys committed to other schools even that we'll see if they end up visiting and things like that over the next couple of weeks. But I do think Tennessee has some other options there, but I think they do start with James Pierce, and he looks like probably Tennessee's best option among those remaining targets.
Yeah, the hazards of recruiting podcasts, the nature of the beast there, you always have to say, well, at the time of recording, because these things change so quickly, and
especially down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as soon as, even if you did a live podcast with this stuff, as soon as you say something 5 minutes later, these are kids, right? I mean, they could be like, screw it, I want to go to Oregon or whatever they want to do. You know, you just never know. So that's always interesting. So there's plenty more.
That's something to watch too. You know, down the stretch, you know, a lot of these things are subject to change because you have coaching changes, you have assistant coach departures, things like that can really shake up a player's recruitment at the last minute. So that's why you never rule out anything here down the stretch, because, you know, LSU, Florida, a lot of these places hiring new coaches, there's going to be movement and dominoes falling that can shake things up in a player's recruitment pretty quickly. You see it every year, and it's certainly worth noting, because you know, you can think Tennessee is in good position or out of it or whatever for a player, and that can change in a second just because of all the coaching changes and everything else that can affect a player's recruitment in these final weeks before early signing day.
Yes, it can. Yes, it can. There's plenty more to discuss. We're going to have obviously a lot more of these recruiting podcasts down the stretch. So lots and lots more to discuss. Ryan, you got anything else before we step out of here? I think we're already a bit over on time, but you got anything else?
Yeah, just wanted to add, you know, I think this is kind of the beginning of what could be a pretty active stretch run for Tennessee. You know, a lot of needs still to address in this class. This is a big piece for Tennessee to add, but certainly think you're going to see Tennessee continue to close well as they've needed to add a bunch of players to this class. And I think they've been in position with some guys to have a chance to close well, but just kind of been waiting for players to make decisions. And this might kind of get the ball rolling here over the next few weeks.
I think that's a good place to leave it. Ryan, thanks for your time, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And you know what, guys, if I could find that button, where is that button? There it is. Now I can say thank you for listening to this edition of the Go Vols 24/7 podcast. You can find all of us on Twitter. I'm Wes Rucker 24/7 on Twitter. Ryan Callahan is Ryan Callahan 24/7 on Twitter. Patrick Brown is P Brown 24/7 on Twitter. And Grant Ramey is Grant Ramey on Twitter. If you want just Tennessee news in your feed, nothing else, go get that at twitter.com/GoVols247. You can also go to facebook.com/GoVols247, where we update that page all day, every day, pretty much around the clock, tons of stuff on there. But if you want that best, most delicious East Tennessee Smoky Mountain spring water directly from the tap, go get that at GoVols247.com, the best site on all of Al Gore's internets for coverage of Tennessee football, football recruiting, basketball, basketball recruiting, Tennessee baseball, Lady Vols coverage with Maria Cornelius, who does an excellent job covering all things Lady Vols for us all year long. We got two forums that run around the clock, the Checkerboard and the Summit, where you can go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and discuss anything you want that is not political or religious in nature with all of us on the staff, all five of us, and thousands of Tennessee fans across the world, every time zone, just no matter what time of day it is, we got people who will be there wanting to talk Vols and wanting to talk life and all sorts of other fun things with you. So you get all of that. It's a couple dozen fresh content items most days, access to the best database in all of college sports, by far the best database in all of recruiting. You got those two forums. You got everything. All of that for less than the price of one mediocre lunch per month after a 7-day free trial. That is all it costs. And if you pay us that ridiculously low rate, again, which is less than one mediocre lunch per month, on top of that, we will give you in perpetuity free access to CBS All Access. I did it again, Paramount Plus. Dang it. There's another dollar to the jar. Paramount Plus used to be CBS All Access. Now it's Paramount Plus. That's a growing, explosive streaming platform with every show CBS has ever made commercial free. Tons of exclusive shows on there that you can only find on Paramount Plus. Some exclusive movies you can only find on Paramount Plus. And we're talking like big budget, A-list actors and actresses. Tons and tons of stuff. Also, you get things from the files of Smithsonian, Nickelodeon, MTV, BET, Comedy Central, something for the entire family. New movies, old classics, tons and tons of stuff. Plus live sports. You get live sports and on-demand sports. SEC stuff, so obviously Tennessee stuff, Tennessee football, Tennessee basketball, March Madness, NCAA tournament. You got NFL, PGA Tour, UEFA Champions League, UEFA Europa League, World Cup qualifiers, Serie A, Italian Top League soccer, tons of stuff. Guys, that's like a $200 or $300 annual value, basically, that you get for free. So basically, what we're giving you is about $400 worth of stuff for about $100 a year and change. You cannot beat that deal anywhere. Go do it. Go to govols247.com. You should hear from us in a couple days, guys, unless breaking news happens before then. So until then, just be good to each other. Try to have some empathy. There's not enough of that in the world these days. See you.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.